Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Guide to Joining the Military. During the last episode, I had a phone call from somebody who wanted to know why I joined the military. And I had about a minute and a half left in the show and really did not give it justice, so I thought I'd spend a little bit of time just telling my story about why I joined the military. And, of course, there's many, many reasons why people join. This is just one of those reasons. Of course, it was quite a while ago. It was 1978. I graduated high school 1978. I know that seems like a long time ago. That's because it was a long time ago. Things were a little bit different then. Not everybody was expected to attend college after high school graduation, although that was my plan. The only problem was that back then, getting funding for college wasn't very easy. Today, fortunately or unfortunately, it's pretty easy to, if you want to attend college, it's pretty easy to find some kind of funding, whether it's student loans, grants, or other means of scholarships of going to college. Back then, unless your parents saved for college, or if you had a scholarship, you probably were not going to college, at least not directly. And that was my story. I mean, even though I was accepted to the college that I wanted to go to, and actually signed up for classes, it became very apparent very quickly that we did not have the money for me to go to college. So what do I do? Well, I had always thought about the military. I belonged to a semi kind of a military organization when I was in high school, not JROTC. We just didn't have that, but I belonged to the Young Marines, which was a military-type organization for teenagers. Was not connected to the school, but something that I did and I enjoyed, and so I thought about going in the military. But I also thought about going to college, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to college, actually, for journalism. It became, as I said, became very apparent that that wasn't going to happen. So what was the next step? Well, I decided I was going to check out the military, which I did. Went to talk to a recruiter, not knowing very much about the military, and before you know it, I was headed off to basic training. I actually started out in the military in the Navy. Started out in the Navy. I was a Poseidon missile technician. That was my job. I had about 2 years of Navy school. Took me about 2 years after basic training and went to submarine school. Then after submarine school, I went to what's called A school, which was basic electronics. From A school, I went to C school, not C-S-E-A, but C is in the letter C. That's what it was called. Went to C school to become a Poseidon missile technician. And then from there, I actually went to an advanced school. And then it was out to the fleet. So why did I join the military? Well, as I said, I joined the military because I was looking for something. I wanted to do something patriotic. I couldn't go to college, so I wanted to do something patriotic, and joining the military seemed like a logical step. And that's what I did. Now, what did I do while I was in the military? Well, I never really gave up my idea of going to college. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, going to college and having a full-time job, and actually more than a full-time job, because being in the military was more than a full-time job, still is. It was there was not a lot of opportunity to go to college. There were no online classes. Actually, there was no online, much less online classes. So there were no online classes, but luckily I wound up in Charleston, South Carolina. And in Charleston, South Carolina, I did not go directly to a submarine. Instead, I went to a submarine tender. Submarine tender, although it's a ship, does not go out to sea very often. Matter of fact, very rarely did it go out to sea. And I was very lucky in that a school called Baptist College at Charleston, now was renamed, now it's Charleston Southern University, but at the time it was Baptist College at Charleston. They had an interesting program, very new for its time. They called it the adult, well, it was an evening degree program, mostly for adults. So these were mostly non-traditional students, although we had some students that took day classes and were just looking to kind of double up and get some more credit. Most of the people in my classes were older. I'm not saying older as in ancient, like I am now, although we did have some students that were in their 40s and 50s, and I suspect maybe even in their 60s. Most of the students were non-traditional, myself included. So I started college at 21 years old. Although, truthfully, I really had a leg up because all those schools that I went to in the military were evaluated by Baptist College, and I was awarded college credit. And, of course, I also took CLEP exams. And if you don't know what CLEP exams are, they're college-level examination program. And if you're in the military, you take those for free, so you don't have to pay for them. And if you pass them, the school can, if they want to, grant you credit, college credit. So between my CLEP exams and my almost 2 years of Navy schools, I wound up with something like 27 credits. So I started basically with about a year's worth of college, and then I hit it hard. I went Baptist College at the time had this program, and what they did was they split the semester in half, and so you took two classes per term, two terms per semester, which means you could do four classes a semester, which was full time. The good part about it was that I got tuition assistance through the military, through the Navy, and at the time the state of South Carolina gave a grant to students, either residents or military members, that were going to private colleges. So you had to be going to a private college, you got a grant, and so put it this way, I paid $0 to go to school, $0 to get my bachelor's degree. And when I did graduate and had to clear the business office like everybody else, I actually had a credit. Instead of owing money, I had a credit. So I got my bachelor's degree while being as an enlisted member of the Navy. And of course, as I said, back in those days, that was not an easy task. Today, much, much easier. I'm not saying that you don't have to be dedicated and focused to get a degree online, because you do, but what I'm saying is there's more opportunity now to get a degree, even when you're deployed, even when you're out to sea, if you're in the Navy, and you can, as long as you have internet connectivity, you can take college classes. So much more opportunity now. I'm not saying it's easier, it's just much more opportunities. Had I not been stationed in Charleston, South Carolina, if I had been stationed somewhere else, probably would not have had the opportunity to attend college full time while I was on active duty. So that was it. Why did I get a degree? Well, pretty soon after enlisting in the military, I realized that if I wanted to stay in, I was going to get commissioned. In other words, I wanted to become a commissioned officer in the military. Didn't matter to me which branch. I was in the Navy. I would have been happy to have been a naval officer, but I just wanted a commission. That was my goal. So I worked very, very hard to get my degree in as little time as possible. I went every time they offered class. And Baptist College offered classes, of course, during the regular semesters, but they also offered classes in the summer. I took summer classes. They offered classes in between terms, in between semesters. Of course, then you had to go more than, I think it was three nights a week, if I'm not mistaken. So I worked hard. It took me 3 years to get my degree after I started, 3 years. But my goal was to become a commissioned officer. That was it. I'm not going to go into the whole story about why I did not get a commission in the Navy, but just to put it this way, I left Charleston and went to Navy Recruiting District Philadelphia, where I became a Navy recruiter. And when I got there, the gentleman who was in charge of officer programs came up to me and said, "Look, I hear you have a degree. We're looking to man a 400-ship Navy. We need people to apply for commissions, and we know you have a pretty good GPA as well, and so we want you to apply for a commission." At that time, I said, "You know what?" Once again, it's another story, but I said, "I'm going to apply to the Air Force first. If the Air Force doesn't want me, I'll apply for a Navy commission." Well, it turns out the Air Force wanted me. So I never did apply for the Navy commission. But to be honest with you, I would have, before I went for a Navy commission, I probably would have gone for a Marine Corps. So it was Air Force, then Marine Corps, then Navy, and then Army. That's just the way, that was my priority back then. Of course, that was about 30 years ago, a little bit more than 30 years ago. So that was, at that time, it was 1986. Actually, it was probably 1985. I graduated college in 84. So really, 1985 is when I started seriously looking at a commissioning program. And then I finally left for Air Force Officer Training School in April of 1986. So just almost 31 years ago. So that was my priority, Air Force, and then Marine Corps, then Navy, and then Army in that order. But the Air Force wanted me, so I didn't. Those other ones never came to be. I never applied, obviously. So that was my goal. My goal that pushed me for my education was getting a commission, and that happened. Then I got commissioned in July of 1986 as a missile launch officer, Minuteman III missile launch officer in the Air Force, and I did that job for a while. After that job, and while I was in Minot, North Dakota, if you've never been to North Dakota, it is cold in the winter. Pretty cold in the winter. I left Minot. Actually, while I was at Minot, I took two graduate level courses, and then realized I was leaving there anyway. And the degree I was pursuing, which was space studies, which was a new program, and most people did not offer it. Actually, I think only the University of North Dakota offered that program. So I said, well, it doesn't make much sense to continue. I could take probably one more class, maybe two before I leave, and more than likely those wouldn't transfer. So I wound up going to Upper Heyford in England. RAF Upper Heyford in England as an executive officer in a fighter squadron. And it was there through Troy State University. And now, of course, it's Troy University. Back then it was Troy State. I pursued a degree in public administration, a master's degree in public administration. Once again, using tuition assistance. This time it may have cost me maybe $1,000. I don't think it was $1,000. But it might have been $1,000 by using tuition assistance, got my master's degree. in public administration. Like I said, once again, very little money out of pocket, if $1,000. Of course, that I got my degree and I got my master's degree in 1990, so a long time ago. But I got my master's degree, and I think I spent at the most $1,000 to get that degree. But I don't even think it was that much. Got my master's degree, and then once again left. This time headed for New Jersey, of all places. In 1993, I left active duty, and 1993, I left active duty and went in the reserve, the Air Force Reserve, where I stayed for about 5 years, and then went back on active duty again until my retirement. That was in 1998, end of 1998, November 98, I went back on active duty, and then in 2005, September of 2005, finally retired with 21 years of active duty service. 21 years of active duty service, and went to work teaching high school, junior reserve officer training, JROTC, which is a high school program, Air Force program. Of course, all the services have it, but of course, I'm retired Air Force, so I teach Air Force JROTC, and that's what I did. And decided for the longest time, really thought about a doctoral program. And truthfully, when I first started talking about doctoral programs, they just didn't exist unless you went full-time during the day. I could not find a doctoral program that did not require me to basically not have a job. I got offered a stipend. Which was not a lot. I had a family, and just couldn't afford to do it. But the advent of online degree doctoral programs allowed me to return to school in 2008 at the age of 48 to pursue a doctorate in organizational leadership. But this time, I didn't use tuition assistance. I wasn't on active duty anymore. This time, I was able to use the GI Bill, the Montgomery GI Bill, something I was not, when I joined the military, was not offered. I just missed the Montgomery GI Bill. But what happened was, when I left active duty to go in a reserve, they gave me a one-time good deal. I could give a one-time payment of $1,200 and be part of the Montgomery GI Bill, which I did. And then all those years later, I put it to use. The Montgomery GI Bill pays for 36 months of college. So for 36 months, I used the Montgomery GI Bill. No out-of-pocket expenses, other than books. I have to pay for books. But other than that, tuition covered under the Montgomery GI Bill for 36 months. But then I was running out of benefits. But then what I found out was the post-9/11 GI Bill, which I could have gone to the post-9/11, converted my Montgomery GI Bill to the post-9/11 GI Bill, but I did not do that because it just didn't pay. It wound up not paying as much, so I didn't do that. But then there were some changes to the post-9/11 GI Bill. And so at the end of those 36 months, I still had almost just about a year's worth of post-9/11 GI Bill left, which brought me to the end of my doctoral program. 48 months, 4 years. And I paid basically nothing out of pocket other than books. I paid just about nothing out of pocket for my doctoral degree. So, bachelor's degree, $0. Master's degree, just about $0. doctoral degree, doctorate, other than books, very little out of pocket. I would say that maybe I did not plan for that to happen when I joined the military. I joined the military not on a whim, believe me, not on a whim, but I joined the military hoping for some type of technical education. Wound up getting formal technical education, I did, but also wound up getting formal education, 3 degrees out of it. So especially today, like I said, back when I first came into the military, very, very difficult because there were very few opportunities to go to college full time. Today, there are so many opportunities for military members to go to college. Excuse me. Although the money might be a little bit tighter now, it's not as easy to get the funding. I know that some cases you actually have to pursue a degree that kind of is in line with the job that you have in the military. So there are a few more restrictions on how to use tuition assistance, but it's there. The post 9/11 GI Bill is there. And there's just so many opportunities. If you want to go to college and not wind up owing $100,000, $60,000, whatever it is, there are opportunities there. That's my story. I hope I did not bore you with it. If anybody's listening, that is. No callers today, but that's okay. But that's my story. Somebody called in, wanted to know why I joined the military. I had probably about a minute and a half left, nowhere near enough time. So I thought I'd devote some time to it today. Please stay tuned. I'm hoping to do more and more of these broadcasts when I can. Also, you can find me at Guide to Join the Military on my Facebook page, which has a lot more information, a lot more links. To different recruiting sites, videos on how to prepare for basic training if you've already taken the plunge and have enlisted. And then, of course, also for commissioning programs. So please stay tuned. Thanks for joining me. Have a great evening, morning, whenever you're listening to this. Bye-bye.